The sticky matter of intent. Have you ever tried to stir up racial hatred? Me neither. Despite the foul torrents of racially insensitive things I've written and said over the years, I come before you today blushing with a raw and naked honesty to state that my intent has never been to stir up racial hatred. I'm not even sure what it means to stir up racial hatred, much less to intend to stir it up. Can you attempt to stir up racial hatred and fail? If so, is that worse or better than succeeding at stirring up racial hatred? The only people who've ever stirred up racial hatred in me are members of other races. I think that's sort of the way the process is supposed to work. In my experience, racial hatred is something you either feel naturally or you don't. So I can't grasp why someone would feel compelled to stir up racial hatred in others. Nor do I understand how someone could be so passive as to sit back and allow racial hatred to be stirred up within them simply because the demagogue who's doing the stirring is quite a smooth talker. By the way, why is racial hatred always stirred up? Why did stir become the go-to verb? Just like racial slurs are always hurled, racial hatred is always stirred up. And in legal terms, what is the distinction between stirring up racial hatred and stoking racial tensions? Which one's more serious? It should come as no surprise that the biggest and most tireless instigators of racial hatred are the aggressive anti-racists. If anyone's been stirring up racial hatred, it's the media, universities, corporations, and government with their obsessive and nonstop denigration of all things white. Last week in England, Sam Melia, described by the British government as a far-right activist who set up an online library of racist stickers for supporters to download and put up in their area, was sentenced to 2 years behind bars. In January, he'd been found guilty of two crimes: stirring up racial hatred through the distribution of his stickers and encouraging racially aggravated criminal damage by providing downloadable PDFs that enabled aspiring racist vandals to print out the stickers and deface public property with them. Melia had built up a vault of 200 to 300 racist sticker designs, including ones featuring the following phrases: "Reject white guilt. We will be a minority in our homeland by 2066. White lives matter. Stop anti-white rape gangs. Diversity did not build Britain. Labor loves Muslim rape gangs. Love your nation. Mass immigration is white genocide. Second generation? Third? Fourth? You have to go back. There is a war on whites. They seek conquest, not asylum. Blood and soil. Small hats, big problems. Natives losing jobs, migrants pouring in. Why are Jews censoring free speech? Nationalism is nurture. Stop mass immigration. Equality or quality? You can only have one. Diversity, designed to fail, built to replace. Ask not what Jews can do for your country. Ask what your country can do for Jews." Imagine that awkward moment when you stroll into your first prison cell and your cellmate says, "I'm stuck here for three consecutive life sentences. I murdered three underage triplets in the course of raping them. What are you in for?"
Hi, hey.
Yeah, they nailed me on 2 counts of stickering. Nick Price, head of the Crown Prosecution Service's Special Crime and Counterterrorism Division, because, let's face it, designing and distributing stickers is about as terroristic as it gets, says that Melia was conscious and complicit in the act of racial hatred stirring. Melia was perfectly aware that the stickers he published on his Telegram channel were being downloaded and then stuck up in public places around the country. He also knew full well the impact these racially inflammatory stickers were having. It is illegal to publish such material intending to stir up racial hatred towards others, and the CPS will not hesitate to bring prosecutions against those who break the law in this way. Moments before his sentencing last week, Melia appeared with his wife, Laura Taller, deputy leader of British nationalist group Patriotic Alternative, outside the courtroom to thank well-wishers for their support. Since Taller is 8 months pregnant, her husband will miss the birth of their second child as he sits behind bars and ponders the gravity of his racial hatred stirring. After the sentencing, Patriotic Alternative leader Mark Collett criticized the state's decision. "This is absolutely shocking. A man has been sentenced to 2 years in jail with immediate effect, i.e. not suspended, for putting up stickers that the Crown admitted firstly contained only lawful speech and secondly did not lead to any criminal acts. They did not incite anyone to do anything, so there was really no case against him. The only case was that the Crown wanted to punish him because they felt his supposed motivations were racism. Now that, to me, is the definition of a thought crime." This isn't the first time that the Crown has jailed racially conscious white activists for thought crimes. Last June, Patriotic Alternative member Christopher Thomas Carney was sentenced to 4 years and 8 months for disseminating terrorist publications after he'd shared the manifestos of Anders Behring Breivik and Brenton Tarrant on his Telegram account. Last May, pro-white podcaster James Allchurch, a.k.a. Sven Longshanks, was sentenced to 2.5 years for, as his prosecutors phrased it, stirring up racial hatred on his podcast. Last November, a British nationalist named James Costello was handed a 5-year sentence for publishing a website alleged to contain racist themes pertaining to his religion, Creativity. Sam Melia isn't even the first person in England to be jailed for disseminating racist stickers. In 2016, 4 members of the now-banned group National Action received sentences ranging from 12 to 21 months in connection with posting stickers on a campus in Birmingham with messages such as "White Zone" and "Britain is ours, the rest must go." Speaking for the Crown Prosecution Service, Sue Hemming said, "These men were committed members of National Action who went to Aston University with the intention of stirring up racial hatred. Their hope was to inspire others to stoke racial tensions, but their criminal attempt to incite others to despise, reject, and expel non-whites failed." Wow, they wanted to stir up racial hatred and stoke racial tensions. I'm surprised they weren't shot live on television by Her Majesty's Royal Firing Squad. It only seems as if white people are going to jail in England for stirring up racial hatred. Anti-Jewish invective from Muslims is widely tolerated because, well, most Muslims aren't white. And for the time being, England's white people are the ones blocking racial progress. Many were quick to point out how many non-white sex criminals got sentenced to less time than Sam Melia got, and how you won't be criminally charged for posting "kill all white men" so long as you're a non-white woman. At Melia's sentencing, Judge Tom Bayless said, "The publication of this kind of material is corrosive to our society. For the first time since the 1930s, a real risk of gross, potentially violent, anti-Semitism is becoming normalized on our streets. It has been used before to tear at the heart of Western democracy. It must not be allowed to do so again. I am quite sure that your mindset is that of a racist and a white supremacist. You hold Nazi sympathies, and you are an anti-Semite." Prosecutors made a point of reminding jurors that when police first raided Melia's home in April 2021, they found a Hitler poster on a wall in his garage and a book by Oswald Mosley in his bedroom. These two artifacts were presented as key signs of Melia's ideology. If you asked Sam Melia or Laura Taller what motivates them, they'd both probably say, in unison and without blinking, that it's love for their own people. But they live and are currently suffering under a regime that automatically reframes self-interest among whites as hatred for others. So their meek claims of self-love will be dismissed as lies and denial. And that's why the legal question of intent, especially in cases where even the prosecution agrees that no crimes were committed and no one was hurt, is such a sticky matter. Over the years, I found myself entangled in two separate legal cases, one involving obscenity and the other involving assault, where prosecutors used my writing against me as proof of malice aforethought. And in both cases, the prosecutors couldn't have been more wrong about the reasons I'd written what I wrote. It's quite a little existential nightmare to have the full power of the state, which can lock you in a cage and keep you there, telling you what you actually meant because it suits their own twisted needs to hate and punish. What's so bad about racial hatred anyway? Off the top of my head, I can think of at least 10 things that are worse. Hypocrisy, gaslighting, and sadism cloaked as justice are three of them. At least racial hatred is honest.